This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Cheung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. Now, this week, we're joined by the DIYKL duo, Agnes Leung and Saran Mutang Tagal.
They were just so happy to be to make something.
You help them bring out the hidden talent in them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's what we do in our workshops, and we just love being able to bring out and empower people with their own inner creativity, which they probably never knew they had.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, and BFM's Othnia Ting talks about one of the greatest 80s trend, scrunchies.
Carrie Bradshaw once proclaimed in Sex and the City that, you know, no woman should be caught dead at a hip downtown restaurant wearing a scrunchie, but looks like she's wrong because Bella Hadid, Madonna, Selena Gomez, they're all sporting scrunchies.
But before we get to that, let's speak to our style makers for this week, Agnes Leung and Saran Mutang Tagal. You might have heard of DIYKL, a pair of passionate jewelry and leather crafters, the girls behind the label, Agnes Leung and Saran Mutang Tagal. Starting out as a small online operation, DIYKL has made its mark in the fashion industry with quality bespoke DIY kits with gorgeous rhinestones and other embellishments at a generous rate. DIYKL also offers workshops where you can sign up to learn how to craft leather goods like clutches and notebooks by hand. Agnes and Saran are here with us today to speak to us about the crafting process of their leather products and artisanal jewelry, as well as their workshops.
Okay, so we have definitely grown as a brand in 3 years. So how we actually expanded in a way was that we started receiving a lot of corporate inquiries. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're having an event here and here. Like, for example, the Ripper Coming Off. Can you make these so-and-so items as dog gifts and as corporate gifts at your events? So mm-hmm. I have to say we're actually doing pretty well considering that we don't advertise at all.
We did try with Facebook ads, and mostly Instagram ads.
Did it work?
No.
You don't need to at all?
We don't need to. We thought of trying, but it didn't help with conversions. It didn't help with sign-ups. So
except for one, I think.
Yeah, but
It was just really minuscule, but mm-hmm. then it just helps to reach the post to a wider range of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everyone that we've asked is either they heard of us from their friends mm-hmm. or our
word
friends.
Word of mouth, right?
Word of mouth and from Google. Mm-hmm. So SEO is something that I find is very important in building an online presence per se. So just having people coming to us, and then, you know what, they found us on Google. So they're like, okay, I need so-and-so leather tags. I'm just going to Google, like, mm-hmm. Malaysia leather tags or Malaysia workshops, and then they find us.
I think you guys tagged your items well on social media.
Yeah,
right?
We just tag it everywhere. Yeah.
But it's amazing that you girls have day job and you are doing DIYKL, and it's super successful right now. How do you guys balance your time? Do you guys even have a life? You know, your own personal time?
Yeah, well, I think it's all about discipline and also trying to just focus our time on what needs to be prioritized. So, of course, our day jobs are our main priority. And then DIYKL is something we do at night or on the side. And we try not to burn ourselves out too much. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we don't host too many workshops. We try to host it at least once a month, not all the time. Mm-hmm. We do try to balance it, but then again, it is quite a struggle mm-hmm. too.
So would you say that DIYKL, you know, back then, 3 years ago when you came on the show, you know, would you say that since then till now, your business has grown bigger with more followers?
Yeah. Followers? Yes, I would say. Social media, not so much, but the amount of revenue that we have brought in is mm-hmm. pretty significant. So considering that, again, we only work on the side, on weekends, and people come to us, not we go to them. Mm-hmm. I would say that.
That's the best, right?
Yeah, but the business is really growing really fast.
Talking about growing, I know you guys have expanded DIYKL into the realm of leather goods recently. You know, how did you come upon this?
So basically, I've always liked leather crafting. I started doing it during my uni days, which is around 10 years ago. I'm so mm-hmm. old. But it's something I've really enjoyed. And it's just nice to see a material which you can make into something. And when I started making my own goods, people started asking, like, hey, can you make this for us? And we're like, You can learn how to make it yourself, you know. And they're like, no, it's too difficult. We're like, no, it's just, it's quite simple. And that's when we started to naturally progress into leathercraft workshops.
Uh-huh.
And from there, that's when we started to grow. And yeah, we're just really happy to have leather goods.
Yeah, just to add on that. So like Saran mentioned that, oh, I don't know how to make it myself, or mm-hmm. I don't want to make it myself. So that's how DIY KL transitioned, actually. So years ago, we started selling DIY kits, like how to make your own earrings at home, your own necklaces at home. But I would say only 10% of our customers would want to make them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they would always ask, can you please make this for us? We will pay extra for the labor. So that's how DIY KL sort of transitioned transitioned into a mini sweatshop.
Yeah.
It's really just the two of us working every night and on weekends, just making things by hand for corporate orders.
But do you think that it defeats the purpose, you know, having DIY KL as a brand? Because you want people to DIY themselves.
Yeah.
But you ended up doing for them.
So
that was mostly for corporate orders.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I think a lot of people still came to us asking us to teach them. So that's why we still host a lot of workshops. And we're not just hosted in KL. We've hosted it back in Sarawak, where I'm from. So I've done it in Kuching and in Miri. And it's great to see people getting really interested in learning how to make it their own.
So there are a lot of people who are interested in making on their own, right?
Yes, yeah.
So are they like younger people or are they older?
Well, we have a range of people, participants.
I would say early 20s to early 30s.
Mm-hmm. But then we've done workshops where it's, I wouldn't say old people, but elderly, like middle-aged.
Mm-hmm.
So we did one workshop, it was a leathercraft workshop for Food for the Hungry, and they're this NGO, and it's got all these middle-aged men and women. And I was teaching them how to sew.
Oh, like, that's
quite
so
leather.
Fun.
And the men were like, wow, my wife will never believe that I can actually sew now. And he was so excited, and they were just so happy to be able to make something.
You help them bring out the hidden talent in them,
Yeah. That's what we do in our workshops, and we just love being able to bring out and empower people with their own inner creativity, which they probably never knew they had.
So what kind of leather products do you have?
Quite a lot.
We have a range.
We have things like keychains, cable clip holder things,
leather clutches,
leather notebook covers.
Yeah. I think mostly like when a client asks us for something, we try to
accommodate
to what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So like the other day we had a workshop with Shell and they wanted to make a leather ID.
A leather ID holder.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So that's not something we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But we asked them, what would you like to do? And they said, I think our employees will like this. So we just went ahead with their idea and we just started making leather IDs for them. And they learned how to make it themselves.
So where do you source your leather fabrics as well as other items?
We try to source it locally.
Mm-hmm.
There are quite a number of places in KL, but we also source it when we travel.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are actually imported leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have quite a range.
So what kind of leather do you use?
So there's various types. So you have chrome tan leather or vegetable tan. We try to use a mix of both because certain goods are better with certain types of leather. But then again, it's always up to the preference of our participants or what we have at hand.
So how do you maintain such a low price, you know, despite using such high quality leather?
Actually, we source a lot of our materials from Thailand, where things are significantly cheaper. So, I mean, we did outweigh the cost. Would it be cheaper to actually buy locally, or would it be actually cheaper to just fly to Thailand, sit there for a few days, compare prices? So what we did was we would spend, let's say, 4 days.
Yeah, 4 days and try to just get a lot of materials. So we normally buy in bulk, so that it's a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And generally with leather, you have to buy the whole hide.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole thing. And so the bigger the item of leather good you're making, the more you waste. So that's the reason why we tend to make more smaller leather good workshops.
Well, that's nice, you know. I mean, but it seems that, I know, when you're on your website, most of the items are all sold out.
Yeah. So when we first started our business, we thought, hey, you know what? We like this. Let's stock up 20 sets.
Only?
20?
Yeah.
No, 20, yes. But it took so long for us to actually sell it off.
How long did it take?
At least 6 months.
6 months? Mm. For what kind of leather good?
No, it wasn't leather goods. When we were first starting out, it was mostly like jewelry.
Okay, and kits, DIY kits.
Yeah, DIY kits. And it was taking too long. And to me, it was really dead stock.
Okay.
No one's going to buy. So we decided to actually just pace ourselves. Like, you know what? Okay, let's try one design. We only sell 3 sets and see how it goes.
So what about this leather?
For leather goods, we sort of have the stock on the website.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask, we sort of make it upon order. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you still doing jewelry right now?
Only for corporate
only for corporate
events.
But then we're always open to having workshops. Yeah. We actually have a few ideas up. It's just that we just don't have time.
But do you have plans in terms of like expanding your catalog, in terms of your jewelry items, you know, to include new components to mess around with?
Components. I'm always on the lookout because I do like gemstones.
Me too. I love it.
Yeah. So colorful. So I actually got some from Cambodia and Thailand. Mm-hmm. It's just that you know the stones are pretty, but we don't know how to set them ourselves. So it's still something that we're trying to work around.
But it's something that we're definitely going to be looking into in the future.
Yep.
So besides preparing kits for your customers, right, DIYKL also, you mentioned you guys do a lot of workshops. Now, how are these workshops typically carried out?
So we gave you an infographic. Mm-hmm. So basically, we try to keep our workshops very simple, very easy, very light, very easygoing, because we understand that sometimes we don't know what is the level of creativity that a person may have or whether they've done a lot of art before or taken photography before or done leather goods. So we try to keep our classes very easy and we make ourselves really approachable to our participants so that they find it really easy to just approach us and ask us for help. Mm. Yeah, but most of the time our workshops are actually really fun, except when it comes to the focus part. Then they're like, oh no!
So how do you know what kind of workshops to come up with that would draw customers to you?
So how we do it is that we started with the basics. Mm-hmm. So like how to cut leather, how to punch holes. And so then from there, we can see how long they actually need to take to actually complete the item that they're supposed to make. So we see that, okay, they're struggling a little bit. So we may have the same workshop, but we extend the time. Mm-hmm. So let's say from 2 hours, we might extend it to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then slowly as we move on, it's just trial and error. So if the participants actually finish early, then we can sort of gauge, okay, this kind of workshops is easier for them. Then we can start promoting a more advanced level kind of workshop, like how to make a leather clutch.
I see. So your workshops are in different levels.
You have different levels.
But they can sign up for anyone. They don't need a prerequisite. But again, so we always observe, like, hey, if we're running over time, and then, you know what, for the more advanced workshop, we may have to extend it by, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. So would you say that DIYKL mainly focus on workshops right now? Or would you say that you guys are also selling your other items?
I would say, actually, corporate orders.
Corporate orders. Yeah. And workshops, we do it as often as we can. Of course, we have public workshops, but we also have private workshops. So people sometimes say, hey, I want to have, like, a birthday party for my mom. Or, like, a birthday party for someone.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, or, like, a hen party. So when I was in Miri, during the elections, actually. Uh-huh. And so I went home and I went and did a leather good workshop. Yeah. And they wanted a bridal party. So they came in and just joined. All six of them came and joined.
So how many do you have in a workshop? How many customers do you have?
Well, we try to keep it not into a very big class because we want to have the same attention to everyone.
So yeah,
we try to
keep it, and it's really just the two of us.
Yeah, so we try to keep it under 15.
No interns?
No.
Under 15? That's still quite a lot.
15? The most we've done is up to 20 or more than 20.
Wow. So how much are the classes?
Our classes do range in pricing, but they're quite affordable, especially when all the materials are actually given. So we price it between 100 ringgit to maybe 150 ringgit. I mean, the more expensive ones will be 395, which is the current leather satchel.
But that's just because it takes like
a lot of time. And it's actually a lot more techniques you're learning.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So how often do you have workshops?
For this year, we've tried to have it for at least once a month.
Once a month.
We try to do more often the previous years, but it's just actually quite tiring.
It's really hard,
Are all your workshops held in KL?
Most of our workshops in KL.
We try to move around, like sometimes in PJ, sometimes in KL, just so that, you know, we can appeal to different markets.
I've seen that you did a unit workshop, I think, sometime in April at Gascoigne Alley, which is something little, something outside of DIYKL's usual content, you know, which is a photography workshop. Yes. Why?
It's because I'm a photographer. Mm-hmm. I do have a small pool of clients that I usually work with. So from the start, I'm the one taking all the photos for DIYKL. And then sometimes when things get a bit overwhelming, then I taught Saran, okay, this is how you take a flat lay, okay? you play the things on the table like this, and then put your phone up here, and then you just snap a photo.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's the sifu.
Yeah. So and it's something that a lot of my friends have always wanted me to teach.
It's photography. Just
photography, because they see my flat lays or they see my photos and they ask, why can't I achieve the same quality?
It's
or the
lighting.
Lighting angle. Yeah. So and photography is not something that I can teach alone, just because there's just...
It needs practice, right?
A lot of practice. Try and there's just so many things that, you know, that goes on. So I actually have another bunch of friends and we're called that bunch of people. It was just a perfect timing. Like, hey, you know what? We're bored. We have nothing to do. Let's go teach a photography workshop.
Now, I know you've also done workshops for corporate gifts, including the likes of Pandora, Lancome, and others, you know. So what normally happens at these events?
Okay, so somehow our name gets passed around through word of mouth.
And you know, amazing.
And L'Oreal is a huge company. So first it's Lancome, and the second is like Clarisonic. So it gets passed around. So one of the things that they really like is for us to put small, like Swarovski-like crystals
on their perfumes.
Yeah, embellish their perfume bottles, their lipsticks.
Mm. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah, so that is the one thing that we do. It's something that people always call us back for. So
do they come up with the idea or you guys come up with the idea?
They sort of come up with the idea first and then we propose what we can do.
Yeah.
And we try to satisfy the client's needs if we can.
Yeah, at first, okay, so I started just bejeweling things just because I like sparkly things.
Yeah.
And I actually posted a few photos on DIY Kale's Instagram like, hey, you know what? I've been practicing and I've been getting better, so why not just share?
Right.
So somehow people found us and they're like, hey, we booked like the concourse in Pavilion. Can you sit here for 4 days? And then just embellish whatever that the customers purchase. So that's one. Another one that have recently for Chinese New Year was tassel earrings. So,
yeah,
so customers wanted custom tassel earrings. So what we usually do, because these events, there are like, what, hundreds of guests. So what we do is that we tell them, okay, we're going to come with like 3 to 5 designs.
You just choose.
In different colors. So on the day itself, they tell us what colors they want. And then we just assemble on the spot.
Yeah. Or even some leather goods, they want us to embellish with rhinestones. So we actually give you one.
Thank you.
So we just set up the designs. They tell us what color they want. We just put it on. And sometimes when we aren't able to meet these commitments, we actually train
our friends
or our fans who have followed us for a while.
Right.
And we just train them and they just do it for us.
Yeah,
at
the event.
Yeah.
So it's that easy, right?
It's so much easier because, again, we have full-time jobs and these events are on weekdays.
Yeah.
So we tell them, hey, okay, we're going to pay you so-and-so per hour. Do you mind working at this event? Like, it's really simple. Then we just train them and then they're more
And they have so much fun because they say, like, I just don't want to be doing a day job too. I actually enjoy going for these events and making stuff for people. So we want to be able to share that love for creativity to other people as well. Yeah.
If you like to keep your hands busy and maybe pick up a new skill or two, make sure you look for Agnes and Saran of DIY Kale. Stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song's style lead at Zalora and Othniel Ting discussing the trend of scrunchies. But before that, here's Ready or Not by The Fugees, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2018 in New York. This is Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. If you like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now, Florence Song's style lead at Zalora, as well as BFM's own Othniel Ting, take you back a decade or two with the trend of scrunchies. The good old days, you know, used to, I mean, for me and Florence especially, you know, hey,
it reminds me of high school as well.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of girls wore scrunchies on their wrists, you know, when
I don't understand. Why do we do that?
Because they want to let the head down, you know.
But you're at school, right?
Yeah, la, all the more, right?
But then you have some girls who don't really go by the rules, so they just let their hair down anyway.
So how many scrunchies do you own last time?
Funnily enough, I wasn't a fan of scrunchies, to be honest, because I have really thick, heavy hair, so scrunchies wouldn't be able to hold my hair up
properly. Oh, it falls easily,
It falls really easily, so I need those kind of like industrial-grade, super thick bands to hold them.
I love scrunchies. I used to buy it from Lovely Lace and... well, if I have a little bit more money, I'll tell my mom, like, can you buy me some at Vitaproni? Right? Those were the days.
Yeah, I remember my sister, every time we used to go shopping in Subang Parit, she'd like pop into Avita Peroni and get one. And I'd always wonder why. And when she was at school, I used to try them on and she'd get so mad when she found out. So it's quite a nostalgic thing for me.
Is Avita Peroni still in Subang Parit now?
No, it closed down years ago, but I think there might still be a store in Pavilion.
Yes, I think there's one in Pavilion.
Yeah,
wow, the good old days, right? So give us a quick breakdown of the trend.
Well, it's one of those polarizing trends. Like, you either love them or you hate them. Some people think they look childish or they're outdated. But, you know, these days they come in a lot of different funky designs and the prints are a lot more updated. They're more modern. They're more sleek and sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, Carrie Bradshaw once proclaimed in Sex and the City that, you know, no woman should be caught dead at a hip downtown restaurant wearing a scrunchie. But looks like she's wrong because Bella Hadid, Madonna, Selena Gomez, they're all sporting scrunchies.
I mean, not only found in nameless shops for a couple of dollars, but also high-profile brands like Balenciaga, they're selling for $200 for scrunchies. You know, it's full leather with the brand embossed on it. I mean, $200. Why would you pay $200 for a scrunchie? Would you do that?
I wouldn't because I don't have $200 of loose change, but if you do, why not? They look great.
They look great, you know? But what about you, Othniel?
You know, when it comes to scrunchies, I think of those things that you pick up if the line is too long at H&M, you know, at the side. So, scrunchies. Yeah.
But if it's cheap, right? Now, so where can I buy into the trend for scrunchies?
You can buy them at H&M, Forever 21, Bershka for like, you know, all those value packs, assorted packs for cheap. Or, you know, if you want to buy them in bulk even cheaper, you might just visit your local Pasar Malams or, you know, Sinmar or Chameleon, those kind of shops that you used to buy back when you were in high school. They're really cute as well.
So what kind of scrunchies are we looking at, you know, in terms of designs and in terms of colours?
Well, you can choose different colours of scrunchies to suit your hair colour. Or, you know, you can go for, like, tasteful scrunchies made of silk or ones, like, in velvet or those that feature tasteful prints to, like, jazz up your outfit.
So what's the best way to, you know, wear it or style it?
If you choose a bright print, you know, you can use it to jazz up a plain outfit. But if you're going to work, maybe you can choose something of neutral colours. Or, you know, some people even say the best way to wear it now is on your wrist as a bracelet.
So how much would you spend for a scrunchie?
Personally, I'm not a fan of scrunchies, so I wouldn't spend on it. But I'd say a good range for a quality one would be maybe like 20 ringgit.
20 ringgit.
Yeah.
So, Othniel, if you're a girl, how much would you spend for a scrunchie?
10.
10 ringgit. That's quite
10 ringgit for 5.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's a tricky one. So, finally, do you think this is a trend to invest in or not?
Well, I mean, scrunchies are great for most people. They're gentle on most hair types and they don't leave that annoying dent in your hair that you get from tying your hair really tight. And it doesn't damage your follicles, so it's good, yeah.
But that's when you have thin hair, though. So you have thicker hair, it doesn't grip your hair.
It doesn't hold your hair
as well, right?
Yeah, but you don't lose them as easily as you do, like, those pack of rubber bands.
So that was Florence Song of Zalora and Othniel Ting with their thoughts on playful scrunchies. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now, before I end the show, here's Dua Lipa with Be The One. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.